Florentian. Good evening, councillors. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day to come across today. There's a few people got to leave early, so we'll try to accommodate them and do our business discreetly and try to get those folks away early.
Your webcast.
Yeah. So we've got on our webcast, we should have Councillor Peter Harris.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm certainly here. It's Councillor Peter Harris.
Thank you, Peter. Anyone else, Judy?
No, if you can just read out the webcast.
He's out of travel on. Council, please note that today's meeting, other than the confidential sessions, are being recorded and will be placed on Council's website. All in attendance should refrain from making defamatory statements. Council takes all care when maintaining privacy. However, members of the public gallery and those addressing Council should be aware that you may be recorded. Thank you. And I think Melissa Blewett, you have acknowledgement, please.
Auckland Council acknowledges the Wurundjeri people as traditional custodians of its land. We recognise their strength and resilience and pay respect to elders past, present and emerging, and to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are part of the Auckland Shire community.
Thank you, Melissa.
Sorry, apologies. Yeah, there's no apologies. I'd tell Council about Councillor Carter. Councillor Bartholin.
Just on three councillors' apologies, request for leave of absence. We have none, but I do have a email here this morning on my phone, a resignation of Mr. Dave Carter. Dave has sent that forward to me. I've since passed it on to Greg. Greg has not received this officially yet. It only comes from me this morning at 11 a.m. Thank you if you all acknowledge that.
Mr. Mayor, do you want to actually read out what it says?
Yeah, I can do that.
You want it? I don't, but I think it's probably that.
Hang on. You want to read it out, Greg? Yeah. Here we are, Dave. See, I've got it up if you want. Ready?
Yep.
I'll hand the information back over to General Manager Dennis and he can read it out.
Dear Mr. Mayor, Paul Phillips. When I first became a councillor, my intention was to represent the people at a grassroots level and at all levels. We used to have committees that were selected by councillors, many of which covered expenses for committee members, travel, etc. Back then, our communities had newer infrastructure and seemed happier overall. Council also appeared to be more supportive of local businesses and encouraged community cohesion, which led to a healthier and happier community. However, things have changed significantly since then. Take, for example, the Joint Organisation of Councils, which may offer benefits like better buying power and cost savings. But we need to ask ourselves, at what cost do we value our community? It seems that this system actually works against some communities, especially smaller rural areas, as businesses are unable to negotiate fair prices and often end up closing down, resulting in job losses. While academia has its place, it can be damaging when there is a lack of engagement with long-term locals in the community. We also need to ensure that important positions like plant operators, mechanics and maintenance staff are paid reasonable wages that support the local economy. It doesn't make sense for top-level staff to be paid the same as their counterparts in other councils if we are losing staff or unable to replace them at the grassroots level. This is a significant issue that I see. Unfortunately, when I brought these concerns at council meetings, I often found a lack of support, especially compared to increased support for executive staff. Councillors are meant to act as the link between our constituents and the council, but it seems that there are too many barriers in place. With a heavy heart, I must tender my resignation from the council, effective immediately. Please understand that this decision is not meant to accuse any specific person, be it staff or councillors. I simply feel that I can no longer effectively represent the interests of the community in the current environment. Sincerely, David Carter.
Any comment?
Just what are the next steps going now that he's going to be resignation? Well, it's not formal yet.
He's only tendered it to me. He has it to the GM, and then the GM will follow it up. Greg, you might go further on that one now.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That is an official notification. I've received it now from the Mayor, so I'll write to Councillor Carter and confirm receipt. I need to write to the Minister for Local Government, advising him of a casual vacancy on Council and seeking approval to carry the vacancy through to the next general election. Under the Act, we don't have to fill a casual vacancy that occurs within 18 months of a general election, but you still require the Minister's approval.
Minutes. Can I just make a comment on some of the comments that people made? And it has been, this has been going on for a long time. Our local car dealer finally placed where because he couldn't compete in selling cars to the shrine, even with the same car company. Other four deals got better deal than he did, once he's following the loss of his break. So in the end, that actually had to shut down. That meant we lost sites, and we also lost the premises, and then also losing income into the open economy. And as we know, we need apprentices for mechanics, for all trades. And that's the difference. We had a paper just yesterday saying, how far, you know, they want to bring in seats to them to fill these positions. And yet we've been saying for a long time that these positions are going. And as I have said, also what we part of people does say is the joint organisations might be a great idea in having a good group that you can get a good deal. But all of those deals do not do us locally the best that we can get. Because even if it costs a bit more, it is better to have it, the money to work locally than it is to go and spend it elsewhere. Now, I know if it's a good organisation, you can get a price on it.
Dennis, just point of order on that one.
Yeah.
Locals are allowed 5 up to 10% any tender form.
I know that.
But we are getting.
When I was in business, we used to give the council 20% discount to make sure that they bought their products to work. But I'm just saying, this is his concerns, and I understand his concerns, because other people have brought these concerns, Stephen, people have given to us to change the process about the fact that they sometimes feel. And it's not the council's got to do it, because under procurement, you have to buy at the best price you can within a certain range. These often these things don't help us, they help local people. I understand what Mr. Perry's done for. And I can also remember years ago, the person who was in his business where he is now, it used to be a service station, used to train mechanics up, and he used to grab them. Sure. And this George Brown said to me one day, I'm sick of doing this dance for a shire. I train them up, and the shire take them.
Yeah. Okay, mate, that will be
I'm just saying, I understand where he's coming from, and I understand he might be sometimes frustrated.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for your comments. Confirmation.
We're dealing with an apology.
Yes. Thank you, John.
Yeah, there's no apologies.
No, we have no apologies, mate. Yeah. Confirmation of minutes. Paul read the minutes of November.
I'll do the current correct recording in that particular meeting.
Okay. Move, John. Seconded Megan, I think it was.
Can I just have a correction? I voted against the sale of Karen Connor, put down a fight about it. I voted against the organization. And put the opposition was a little bit of a
moving on, I've got another minute.
Just, you've got to put the motion, I'm just trying to find it so I can make it.
All in favour?
Aye.
No. Aye.
No one against.
Okay.
We're up to page 28, Mayor, a minute.
Page 28. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. Seconder?
Yes, seconder.
Robin? All in favour?
Aye.
Public forum, we have no one.
No public forum.
No public forum, councillors.
Disclosure of interest.
Any disclosure of interest? May I hear what? Yes, please.
I have a declaration of interest from Councillor Brady regarding a water account for A King, item 17.5. A King is chair of the Lachlan Western Regional Services, and Councillor Brady is the vice chair.
Dennis, didn't know.
Yeah, but it's not.
Councillors, page 30, read and note.
Move the recommendation, Mr. Mayor, to read and note all items.
All remove the report, thank you. Move Peter, seconded Johnny. Anyone I have?
I have one there for Adrian, so that's, well, you want to move?
I'll see you, I'll catch you.
Okay, moving items 8.1 to 8.7.
Councillor, as per the proposal by John and Peter, we're moving 8.1 to 8.7. All in favour?
Aye.
Okay.
Yep.
Catch up myself, yeah. Manager. Okay. I've got a page 61, councillors, 9.1, general manager. Thank you, Greg.
Mover and seconder.
Oh, jumped a gun. Could I have a mover and seconder, please, for 9.1?
Yeah, I'll move that way, 9.1.
Peter and Johnny. All in. Oh, not chance. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. This report's been provided for Council's information following questions a couple of meetings ago from Councillor Carter, I believe, at the time, regarding our salaries relative to other councils and the difficulty we're having attracting and retaining staff, and noting the comments a moment ago from Councillor Brady. The review that we did around other smaller regional councils and across the state, and also councils in the joint organisation, demonstrates that our salaries are consistent with the level of payment across local government, and the issues impacting our shire and our ability to attract and retain staff is more associated with the general skill shortage across all industries than it is specifically towards Lachlan Shire. I'm happy to take any questions that councillors may have. Otherwise, I'll present the report as written.
Any questions?
Yeah, I just have a question.
Thank you, Johnny.
With the right sort of things, you haven't got a lot of flexibility, have you? Because of the award.
The award establishes minimum pay entry points for particular grades of positions, and our salary structure aligns with those minimum pay points. And from that, there is then a series of 8 steps at 2.5% increase for each step that staff can progress through. We can also bring people into the organisation at a higher step for a particular grade than just entry level, and we often do. We would normally not bring anybody in above step 5 in a particular grade, but that still gives them 3 steps for progression once they're into the organisation. We can also, under the award, pay some allowances for particularly hard to fill positions, and we have done that in the past. So there's an opportunity to pay a retention allowance of up to 10% of the salary for the particular position, and that has been paid for mechanics in the past. And we can also amortise the overtime and pay an allowance for overtime that's worked and not necessarily claimed up to 10%. But if you might put that arrangement in place, you still need to track the overtime worked, because the employee can't be disadvantaged if they do more than what the 10% would cover. We do take advantage of those conditions in the award to try and make it more attractive. The trouble is most other councils take those same advantages as well.
First step is you've got to get something to apply.
Yeah.
Well said, John. Well said. Any further questions to the general manager?
Like the mining industry, do they pay more, or is it just while we're losing some? Like we did look to be getting to another workshop here, we'll say that paid.
Yeah, that's correct. The mining industry, other businesses in town don't have the same constraints as council does in what we pay. There's nothing, having said that, there's nothing preventing council from paying more other than the fact we've got a limited amount of money. Rate pegging obviously limits the amount of income we receive, and to inflate the salary for one particular position, our shortages are right across the organisation. It's not just mechanics, it's every area. So the impacts on our salaries on our budget would be significant if we moved away from paying as per the award.
Thank you, Greg. Any further questions to Greg before we move on? Ask for consensus? No. All in favour of 9.1?
Aye.
Recruitment update. That's Director of Environment and Planning. 9.1.
Move the recommendation.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Johnny.
Sorry, I'm just...
No, you're on. I wanted to catch up.
Asked the Acting Director to leave for this item. So we're underway with the recruitment of the Director of Environment and Planning. We conducted interviews last Friday. We had 6 applications for the role. Of that, 4 people were selected for interview. Two internals, being the acting director and also Bryce Coop, and 2 externals, being a person with formal planning qualifications who's currently working in Queensland, and a lady who's currently working on Central Coast. Both of them are working in the respective planning departments for their state organisations, and both of them have been seconded to assist councils with their planning function. So the lady on the Central Coast is working for Central Coast Council, and the fellow from Queensland is working at Emerald, like Central Highlands Council, I think it is. The interview process were assisted from Local Government Services Group, which is the old Blackadder, Mason Blackadder Group. Terry Kiss facilitated the interview process with us. I also brought on Brendan Hayes, who's the Director of Environment and Planning at Parkshire Council, as the technical expert to assist us with the interviews. And Colleen Staines and myself sat on the panel. We conducted the interviews last Friday, and there was 4 good interviews conducted. But the standout candidate, and it was a unanimous decision across the panel, was the applicant from Queensland. So, pardon?
Obviously, they'll relocate.
Yeah. That was one of the questions was asked, was if they were offered the position, would they accept it and would they be relocating to the area? He indicated that he was very enthusiastic about the opportunity. So we're progressing that applicant to the next stage. We've done reference checks and they were very positive. We're doing qualification checks at the moment, and he's been asked to have a medical and a criminal history check. He is an overseas migrant. He comes from Germany originally, and he's still got an accent, but he speaks very good English. And under the Act, as I mentioned in the report, for senior staff and executive level positions, I'm required to consult with council before I make an offer of employment, and that's the purpose of bringing this report today, is to give council the opportunity to ask any questions before we go any further. One last thing I'd say, One important thing for me in this recruitment is that we selected somebody who was a fit for the team. I believe we've got a very good team there in environment and planning, and not wanting to upset the apple cart necessarily by bringing a different personality that wouldn't fit in with the rest of the team. And I think this person also fits that bill quite well. Obviously, the two internals would already fit in the team. Wasn't so confident about the fourth applicant from Central Coast.
Thank you, Greg. Any questions? No questions? Johnny?
Can I ask, how long has he been in Logan?
About 11 years, originally in Western Australia in the planning department over there and working out of Esperance, and then for about 9 years now in Queensland.
Family man?
Wife and two pets, no children.
Sounds like you got.
Aged care worker.
We need them too.
Yeah, I did ask if they had any child care worker skills because I thought that might be beneficial.
Aren't people the unsuccessful people be notified they've been unsuccessful?
No, because I couldn't make a decision until I consulted with council. So at this stage, after today's meeting, I'll be talking to the other applicants and.
That's it. Hence why I had to come forward today. So if everybody's happy with Greg's report, I'll ask that we all in favour.
With your recommendation of your report, let's take that into account for the movements.
Now I just got to get it passed now.
Yeah. I'm saying it does take it into account.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. Yeah. All happy? Okay, that's good.
Just want to grab Guy.
I think we're on page 68. Sure. Page 68, councillors. When is it ready? When Guy and A come back? While they're coming back, 9.1.3 Australia Day Awards and Event Policy. Mover.
Yep.
Move the recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Peter. Comment? All in favour?
Aye.
Okay. Page 70, 9.1.4, Asset Management, the Maturity Audit.
Move the recommendation.
Thank you, Peter.
Second.
Thank you, Melissa. Please. Comment? Any comment? All in favour?
Yep.
Thank you. 9.1.5, proposed FM radio license, Lake Car Jellico.
Move the recommendation.
Thank you, Peter. And thank you, Dennis. Anybody like to know anything or any questions want to be asked, or it's all in front of you? I guess you've all read the report.
Did that come up before?
Some time ago. It did about 12 to 18 months ago. We provided a letter of support when they were applying for the grant, and now that that's successful, they're going to go ahead. The one thing that wasn't previously discussed was the need for the license to be transferred into council's name temporarily, because of the change in location from the broadcasting site. The Australian Media Corporation said they won't be able to get that approved before the grant funds have to be spent, unless council's the applicant, and it'll be fast-tracked being a local government authority making the application.
Can I ask you on the same, because that's what I picked up on? Because from my reading of it, it was a letter from these guys that earlier time, and they were saying that, you know, sometimes the Australian Communications and Media Authority can take up to, and that was their word specifically, Flow FM, up to 5 years to do anything. And it was the fees that I presume would have to come and happen when Lachlan Shire Council makes the application. So what's the go there?
So they're paying the fees for the application, and the licence fee for the licence is $47 a year. And I expect that they'll pay that also for the benefit that the radio station would have in broadcasting information, messages, community information. It's not a significant cost.
And you've got that in writing.
Yep.
All good.
Just a little bit of.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of information. I spent a day with these people. Actually come away thrilled a bit that we're actually going to get a radio station we can actually hear 24/7, as you people will. It's not on the scale they wanted to process with at this stage, but they are going to progressively move it up, and so we'll have a wider audience base. It operates 24/7, sport, music, right across the board. And as a home now, the ABC, you can get it half the time. And 2RG some of the time, so especially at our area, and it will get right out to Kaiaki and Kaiakiora as well. So I think it's a real boost. It's a real boost for our community. And as it costs us nothing, it's just going to be a plus for right through the Lachlan Shire. Maybe Johnny, you won't get a document of this stage, but
nothing new about that.
But I think it's a bonus.
Tell me.
Thank you. When it's on, Johnny, we shall. But I think it's a boost for the Lachlan Shire, and I applaud them people coming in and trying to get a radio coverage out there. So
where are they going to be based?
Well, what they're looking for, what they wanted to go out where all the other setup is out on Northie's property, but unfortunately there's too many government agencies out there. There's police, there's state water, and so on. At this stage, they found a property. They found a property, they've negotiated the deal with the property owners, and this is where they're setting up at this first initial stage. So, yeah, I think it's great news, Melissa. So all in favour? Thank you. Yeah, so 9.1.5, so wait for Johnny, I guess.
Is it?
Is that Johnny? You're right to go.
I'm ready now.
Good mate, Tony. Thanks, Johnny. No, I didn't want to be rude and go. No. We're still having a bit of trouble with our machines. All good?
Sorry.
No, we've got to wait for you. So.
Trude in the inbox.
Oh.
Fascinating.
Well, actually, they tell me I've been writing a few letters and I can't even get my fingers. My grandchildren say pops up little fat fingers. So. No, I have not been writing any messages. Yeah. Thank you, Councillor. Moving on now to 9.1.5, and it's on page 72.
Those are recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Well done. Thank you very much, Councillor Harris. Seconder? No, you went. No, that was 9.1. 1.1.4.
No, we've dealt with that. We've dealt with the radio.
Well, I'm so happy about it. I just wanted it twice. That was all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Johnny. 9.2, corporate and community services.
Yeah, I'll move that again.
And a seconder. And Johnny, thank you. Okay. Any questions at all? 9.2? Okay then. All in favour? All done. Thank you. 9.4 in infrastructure services. That's on page 78.
Move the recommendation.
I'm sorry, Councillor. I've missed 9.3, environment, tourism and economic development.
Yeah, I made that. Neil?
Good.
Bill.
Thank you, Councillor. I'll go on. Right, we go to 9.4 now.
Right, I'll move that again.
Well, thank you, Peter. Thank you, Johnny. Questions? Yeah, all right. Hey, do you want to give a little spool on that, please?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The report before you highlights that there are a number of issues ahead of us. One is the easement. A lot of the impacted lots do already have an easement, but one of them doesn't. So that has to be confirmed on the status of that easement. We believe that the plans that have been submitted accurately describe that there should be one there, but in the title search, it doesn't come up. So we're hoping that that can be clarified with the landowner and an easement can be added there. The more complex matter that is before you in the report is highlighting the cost and the size and the scope of what council and the community want to do to improve the stormwater drainage situation there. Hopefully you can see the cost to pipe everything underground is exorbitant and is not really an option which should be considered too much. The more simple solution requires some additional easements to be agreed upon between council and the landowner in order to safely, in inverted commas, safely carry the stormwater. Now, no discussions have been held formally or informally with any of the impacted landowners. And the solution in the middle that's discussed there is to pipe some of it that have the larger flows over land. And that still poses some problems there. So this is a report to council to update them on the study that the engineer from Griffith and Wagga has done. And it's seeking a discussion and a direction from council on what you think the next steps could be. There's a two-page summary in the attachments of what the engineer has put together to go to the impacted residents with. Hopefully you've had a chance to read that. It's quite technical and maybe confusing to the layperson. So one consideration before council and the options there is to modify that summary to be a little bit more user-friendly. That's option two of a way forward. So I'll open it. I'll leave it back to you, Mr. Mayor, to guide the discussion and interested to hear some feedback.
Thank you. Just before I open up for a general discussion, I'll ask Greg to comment on that, please.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to point out to council, it's written in the report, but those estimated costs that are included in there don't include the cost of land acquisition or compensation property owners. So that could be significant depending which option is identified, because a 9.5 metre wide easement on a 20 metre wide block of land is going to be a significant impact. The other thing that, and I apologise to Adrian for asking this question, not having spoken to him beforehand, I think we need to check the beneficiary of those existing easements also, because drainage easements could be there, but the beneficiary might be the adjoining lots and not necessarily council. So we need to confirm on those titles who the beneficiary is.
I've just one question. The landowner, that we haven't got title across the easement.
Yep, that is in Canada Street.
That's that chap's been chasing. Yeah. Oh, Canada. No, not Canada.
Apologies. I just can't find it in the report in front of me, but I believe it's 26 Canada Street.
Any comment, Adrian, regarding stormwater? Dennis, can you turn that on and talk into it? I can't hear either, mate.
The least cost option is proposing to concrete line some of the channels and to fix the erosion. There will be ongoing maintenance costs. But I wouldn't suggest there'd be ongoing damage that needs to be repaired. That might not be a correct representation of the repairs that are proposed.
Can I ask one question? You said cement lining.
Press your button.
But I know that the report's saying grass swales, and I didn't really think that was going to last long term. But you said
so.
And I just wanted to clarify that one.
Yep, turn your mic off.
You have to turn it off now, Rob. Turn it off now. Oh.
The grass swale is through the recreation ground, not through the residential area. So slight difference. Yep.
Yes, Johnny.
On this, has this been going around for a while? And does the landowners have any idea this is going to happen?
Somehow.
So I've had discussions with four landowners who have been complaining about the situation around the drain. They have been advised that we are doing some investigation, and we'll come back to them with options.
Councilor.
We're at that stage now. It has taken a long time. I think it was 2021 when Councillor Phillips brought the notice of motion to council first. And it's that we've been investigating it since then.
Thanks, Aid. Well, councillors, what do you think of option three? Sorry, ma'am, yes.
Two and three, like sometimes in a user friendly way, but take it to the biggest face to face and people do, but they've got something to reference. That's just one.
I think it's a good one. Right, I think. Well, Aid thinks that's not a bad idea either. So if you all agree with that,
I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Melissa. Okay, so Johnny, any you got more questions?
No, just if you want to move that way.
Just going to ask everybody in favour of option three.
Three plus. So it's option five. Option five.
Well, where's the school teacher in the room somewhere?
I just think it would be handy
if we had something
friendly and then have the face-to-face. So,
option two.
You cover everything.
Adrian just suggested we change the resolution to include option two and three. Happy with that?
Yeah.
I'm happy with that, Mr. Mayor. It's been moved with the motion.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's very good. I was just worried about you there for a little.
Just catching.
So, Johnny, do you have any further question? No, good. Okay, all in favour?
Aye.
Passed. Aye. Passed. Okay. We have no deputations, no notice of motion. What about that rescission? That's Dennis, you mentioned it. No, it's not in there.
I'll send you a really good
report. Okay. Right. Okay, so. Yes. 13.1 delegates report. Mover.
Move it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Peter. Seconder.
Yeah.
Thank you, Johnny. All in favour?
Any
comment?
Aye. Thank you. No questions.
13. What was that? What about
13.2?
13.387.
Yep.
13.2 delegates report.
That.
Thank you, Johnny. Seconder?
Yep.
Megan? Comment? All in favour?
Aye.
Page 88. Correspondence? 14.1.
Move the recommendation.
Thank you, Peter. Seconder? Yep. Megan? Comment? All in favour? Page 89, questions of which notice has been given? None. Mover and a seconder?
I'll move, Neil.
Peter and Dennis? Somebody to move us into closed session.
Move that way, Mr. Mayor.
Melissa and Megan, it was. Thank you, but thank you all, though. Melissa Reese. Shut them doors. You don't want to shut the doors.
Shut the doors.
I'll get
stop the recording.
All right.
You should stop the recording. Please, please.
Thank you. 17.1, request for water account adjustment assessment 102.3359. Move Councillor Metcalf, seconder Councillor Brady. Recommendation, the Director of Corporate and Community Service report R23-351 be received and noted. Council approve a reduction in the water account for assessment 102.3359 in relation to 2024 FY period, one billing cycle. A reduction totaling of $4,628.95 will be permitted due to hardship and in compliance with Section 582 of the Local Government Act 1993, New South Wales. The reduction is to be calculated utilising Council's undetected water leak and faulty water meter policy. The ratepayer be advised that no future applications under the undetected water leak and faulty water meter policy will be permitted, as they have received the maximum benefits allowable due to undetected leak. Then that was carried. Request for water account adjustment 103-1889. Move Councillor Harris, seconded Councillor Brady. The Director of Corporate and Community Service report R23-353 be received and noted. Due to the extenuating circulating circumstances, Council approved reduction of the water account for the 2023 FY period to totaling $3,383.45 as calculated under Council's adopted undetected water leak and faulty water meter policy. The ratepayer will be advised that this is the first and only application allowable under the undetected water leak and faulty meter policy.
Carried.
17.3, short-term license agreement, Tullabardille Community Centre and Swimming Pool Reserve Management. It was moved Councillor Brady, seconder Councillor Turner. Acting Director of Environment and Planning Report number R23-334 be received and noted. Council entering a short-term license of Tullabardille Community Centre and Swimming Pool Reserve Management for the use of the northwestern corner of Crown Reserve 559001 and make an annual contribution towards the cost of electricity, the amount being $250. The General Manager be authorised to sign the short-term license agreement, and that was carried. 17.4, water leak allowance application assessment 104.0018. And that was moved, Councillor Brady, seconded, and Councillor Metcalf. The Director of Corporate and Community Service report number R23-352 be received and noted. The property owner be advised the entire pipeline from the property's owner's side of the water meter to any connection on the property owner's land must be replaced to avoid potential ongoing water leaks. The ratepayer be advised that due to faulty council water infrastructure, the term of the undetected water leak and faulty meter policy will be applied on this occasion. The ratepayer be advised that the previous 2017 successful application for undetected water leak is the first and only application that will be permitted for an undetected water leak caused solely by the property owner's infrastructure. Council apply a reduction of $13,455.40 to the water consumption account for assessment number 104.0018. And also that was carried. Request for water account adjustment 102.3375. Move Councillor Metcalf, seconder Councillor Mortimer. Director of Corporate and Community Service report R23-357 be received and noted. Council approve a reduction of the water account for the 2023 FY period 1 and 2, totaling $7,625.21, calculated as per Council's undetected water leak and faulty water meter policy. The ratepayer be advised this is the first and only application allowable under the undetected water leak and faulty water meter policy, and that was carried. 17.6, outstanding rates charged and water consumption, Lake Adelaide Sports Club assessment 1034724, and that was moved, Councillor Brady, seconded Councillor Metcalf. Director of Corporate and Community Service report number R23-366 be received and noted. With regards to the Lake Adelaide Sports Club assessment number 1034724, due to extenuating circumstances, advise recovery and reconstructions to A, replace the examination notice on hold for 90 days, and B, to seek a written resolution of Lachlanshire Council before taking any further debt reaction, sorry, recovery action. And that was also carried. Lachlanshire Visitors Information Centre and CAF Management Submission 17.7. It was moved, Councillor Brady, second to Councillor Harris. The General Manager's Report number R23-373 be received and noted. The proposal from Logan and Melissa Thorpe to operate the Lachlanshire Visitors Information Centre CAF be accepted. The additional equipment requested for the CAF as listed in the report be purchased with funds allocated from the Taurus Capital Works, Taurus Information Centre Condobolin budget. The General Manager be authorised to sign 12-month lease agreement with Logan and Melissa Thorpe for the operation of the Lachlanshire Visitors Information Centre CAF, and that was carried. Tender assessment project management use for New South Wales natural disaster restoration of essential public assets 17.8, and that was moved by Councillor Harris and seconded by Councillor Metcalf. The the Director of Infrastructure Service Report number R23-344 be received and noted. Council award the contract to Shepherd Services Proprietor Limited for T2023-19 project management for New South Wales restoration of essential public assets, natural disaster, AGRN 1034. The Mayor and General Manager be authorised to sign the contract documents and affix the council seal if required. And also carried, that was done. Now we can have a drink of water.
Oh, that's the end of the meeting.
And thank you, councillors, for your patience. That is now the end of our meeting. And I thank you very much for going so well today. But if you want a little bit of general business, if you want to open it up. Oh, sorry, I'd like someone move to close the meeting. Thank you, Dennis, and thank you, Robin. So I think Peter's gone. So if you'd like to have a little bit of general business.
No, I didn't unmute my button, did I?